player who's been there through this, his first season, his last season in college baseball, first season with Auburn. Do we have so the only final involving an SEC team is Kentucky, I believe, who beat Ball State.
LSU, let's see, LSU is about to wrap things up against Tulane. It's in the going to the eighth.
You mentioned that Samford beat Southern Miss. That was ten innings, 4-2. Samford advances to the winner's bracket. Southern Miss now on the brink of elimination.
And they threw their ace.
They did
today against Samford, which also threw their ace. And then the reliever who closed things out went four innings. So.
Well, they treated it like a must-win game.
Well, it is. Then, yeah. I mean, you lose game one, you're in big, big trouble. And Southern Miss really is now. But Samford, you know, had to do whatever they could, scoring three runs in the top of the 10th. But they have burned their ace and their four-inning reliever from today. So they're going to be a little short against whoever they play tomorrow, the winner of the Auburn-Penn game.
Right, and then on the other side of Auburn's bracket, Clemson, right, hosting.
Yeah, and it's surprising Clemson decided to go ahead and play the early game.
Clemson played the early game, beat Lipscomb 12-5.
They were down early.
Down early, but
came back big.
Rallied big and
beat Lipscomb.
Lipscomb falls apart there, and now Lipscomb on the brink on that side. Who's the... do you know who the 2 and the 3 are?
Yeah, Tennessee's the 2,
that's
remember?
That's right.
That's where a lot of folks... you know, wondering, thinking that Tennessee has a chance. It'll be Tennessee and Charlotte will be playing in the second game.
A lot of folks like Tennessee as probably the 2 seed with the best chance of winning it all. I know in the odds overall to win the College World Series. Wake Forest is the favorite, but then after Wake Forest, you know, bunched up is a bunch of SEC teams, LSU, Arkansas, Florida, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and South Carolina are all right next to each other in the odds, right in the ballpark of, 6-1 and 14-15-1. Like those are all the SEC teams pretty much, aside from Kentucky and Auburn. This is a good, dangerous Tennessee team to watch for on the other side there in Clemson's regional, but. That's not a problem Auburn can worry about right now. Auburn's got Penn and...
that's right. Auburn just needs to take care of business. Chase also getting the start for the Tigers tonight.
Hopefully Samford tomorrow, right?
Right.
Is the belief.
Yeah, if that's
Auburn.
The case, well, let's see. The loser of tonight's game plays at 2 o'clock tomorrow against Southern Miss. The winner will play at 8 tomorrow night against Samford. Let's see. Also here in the state, you've got another regional. Of course, Alabama hosting their regional. And they've got some rain up in Tuscaloosa. And right now, Troy and Boston College, Troy is the 3 seed, BC is the 2 seed. They are tied at 3 and in a rain delay.
Yeah, so the game was started and they almost got through 2 innings, right? Bottom of the second. I think they were about to finish the second inning when they called the rain delay. Both teams already scoring 3 runs, so 3 runs each on the board, and no word on when they'll be able to resume that game. Rain delays are tough because the schedule's already pretty tight on that first Friday, and now you know that pushes not only is there uncertainty as to when they can resume this game, but also that pushes the Alabama game
because they have to clear the stadium. I mean, each game is a session, so they'll have to clear the stadium there in Tuscaloosa. And yes, day one, there are 5 hours between the starts of the first of the games. On day two and day three, there's 6 hours in between, so a little more time. But it doesn't yet. I wonder if it's rain or if it's lightning. It's just a weather delay is the only thing that I'm seeing. So I'm not sure if it's rain or if it's it may be something like lightning. That's a lot of rain if it's been raining that long since the second inning. And that one started at 1 o'clock, too. So that means it's been probably 2 hours or more of a delay there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, very early in the Troy-Boston College game. So, yeah, no word on when they'll be able to resume that. And, like you said, it's pushing everything into further into the night in that regional. LSU and Tulane.
Yeah,
you mentioned that one.
Yeah,
early.
LSU's up 6-2 in the eighth with Tulane batting, and LSU started Paul Skeens.
Yeah, no, LSU went with the ace. I mean,
that's really a surprise to me.
I mean, I think Tulane had been playing well down the stretch.
They had to get there to the tournament. You know, with a record of what were they? I guess they were 15-14-40
I mean,
they're 19-40 now after winning the conference tournament.
Yeah, a terrible overall record for an NCAA tournament team, but they won the. They won the conference tournament to get in. So I think Tulane. I mean, what do you think of the strategy of going with the ace in the one? If you're the one seed,
I'm surprised that you go with the ace when you're the one seed. I mean, maybe you just don't want to take any chance on losing to an in-state team like Tulane, which had a terrible year. But I guess LSU feels like you know, they get the win. That's the most important thing. We'll see how. We'll see how they make the, you know, see what they decide to do after this. I will say this now. It's going to be really interesting. Carter was talking about this earlier. I haven't looked at the stats, but he was saying that the difference in Samford's starter today and their number two starter is over 2 runs a game. Their second best starter has an ERA well over 5. Their starter today had an ERA of a little over 3.
LSU has a pretty drastic difference between Skeens and the rest of the staff, too. Right? Like I've seen some numbers there. So, yeah, I guess that's a little bit of a surprise. We didn't talk about it on the air, but it was ESPN Plus. Or no, it was the ESPN.com prospect rankings where the guy mentioned that the two players from LSU that are expected to go 1-2 in the draft would immediately enter his top 20. Of prospects overall in baseball, which is, I mean, that's unusual for the top players in college. I mean, usually they're somewhere in the top 100 right off the bat.
The top two guys in the draft generally are going to be top 50.
Yeah. I remember Casey Mize generally would like slotted in right around 50 in subsequent rankings after going first overall. But no, these are the Skeens and. It's Skeens and the hitter.
Dylan Cruz.
Cruz are both.
Who, by the way, is 3. He's 3-for-4 today. Only hitting .427 on the season.
Yeah. I mean, he's both look like, and again, tough to project, but both look like.
Skeens, by the way, today, 7 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 11 strikeouts, no walks.
Yeah, instant impact players for.
They give up a bomb.
Yeah, but both look like instant impact pros.
Yep. One other SEC team playing and Arkansas batting in the bottom of the 6th and they're up 7-3 is the Arkansas score over Santa Clara.
Right, they had to rally against they had to rally from down early. I mean Santa Clara came in and scored some runs, sort of stunned a very partisan Arkansas crowd. You can imagine what the fans are like in Fayetteville there in postseason time, but no, it's a little more comfortable for them now with Arkansas getting the lead.
And you mentioned Kentucky blanking Ball State 4-0 earlier today. So those are your games involving SEC schools that have taken the field thus far today.
Yeah, I think we made some jokes about it, but the Kentucky situation with
that's a very very odd.
I'm not too worried about the accommodations for the players and the coaches because if Kentucky's dorms are relatively empty, they can pick the newest ones and staff them, and I think it'll be relatively comfortable.
It's still not like a nice hotel.
It's not great, and the nearest hotel being an hour away in Louisville, the nicest, you know, the nearest acceptable hotel being an hour away. For people who don't know what we're talking about, Kentucky has the Lexington area has a lot going on this weekend on top of a baseball
they
regional.
They have, is it 2 music festivals, but they also have like state baseball and softball tournaments.
Yes, multiple state championships for high schools, multiple music festivals, and then there's another town in Kentucky having some sort of annual, it was some sort of hobby, like it was like model airplanes or something, but it's some sort of big convention that you know, a yearly thing. So
yeah, that takes up a lot of hotel rooms.
Exactly. And all so right. The concern, I mean, they were finding accommodations for the players, and I guess the nearest, the pitch that Kentucky gave the NCAA, that the NCAA accepted, was teams will have the option if Lexington hosts a regional, which it is hosting a regional, teams would have the option of staying in the most recently renovated dorms, which apparently are reminiscent of apartments or condos.
I was going to say, if they had a situation where it could be, first of all, as handy and as nice as the dorms here at Auburn, right, you know, right out behind the right field fence, that would be great.
Well, I think that was the pitch.
Maybe they had something like that.
Either the nicest, newest dorms on campus, because right now the campus is relatively empty compared to the fall, or there's a hotels in Louisville, an hour away, that they can use instead, 65, 70 miles or something. And I think the teams chose the on-campus accommodations, but it's got to be really tough for anybody who wanted to go to the regional, right? Like, I'm sure that the teams and players are fine. Like, they're going to be,
good luck to any out of town folks that wanted to come. And I mean, they'd have to be staying in Louisville and then trying to find, parking.
That's where the RV people always went out, right? Like, that's when, the real, and I don't know where you are on. Was that something that ever appealed to you?
No,
was the RV ride? I'm always surprised at people's, because I know people who are like, yeah, that sounds like it'd be a great way to spend.
There are people that just absolutely love it, and good for them. I don't know. I guess maybe why is we had a pull behind camper,
right?
When I was in high school, and I had three younger sisters, and so it would be everybody all in basically one room. Mm. With three younger sisters, I was not crazy about that. So I just thought, no, I don't think I want to do that when I have the option of, making that choice.
Right, and you're also local to Auburn, which makes it a little bit easier.
No, I'm not.
Like, well, you live here now.
Yeah.
So you're not like.
Oh yeah.
You're not having to figure out what you're going to do when you come here for football weekends or something.
No, that's true. That's true.
Would you imagine yourself as more of a hotel guy or an RV guy if you weren't living in the area and you were coming here
for special occasions? Probably a hotel guy.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, see, it's different. Now, Mark Murphy, buddy from inside the Auburn Tigers, he and his wife bought a huge RV and they're gone. Now, I mean, and my wife talks about that, and at times that sounds good, but there would probably be a point where we're somewhere halfway across the country and I'm like, nope, I don't want this, for the next week or so. And you can't, what are you going to do? We'll just leave it parked in some campground, out in mid-America and do something and come back and get it later.
Yeah, you're much more of a let's get to the destination and then enjoy ourselves, not linger and take our time getting to the destination. As far as I can, my dad I think has flirted with the idea of becoming an RV guy, but he's been outvoted in the situation. I don't know. Sometimes I think it would appeal to him, and sometimes
the thing is, if you're driving, I just don't see it as being as enjoyable as if you're riding and able to check out the scenery and everything.
Pulling one. What's the famous Astro?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah. I mean pulling one of those
Astro bands or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Pulling one of those things is one thing, but no,
it's wasn't, at least it wasn't a pop-up, but I mean it was small.
That is one of that to get into my as I settle into my back in my day era, Bill.
We can do that as sort of fun today too. What's your preferred way of road tripping?
Interesting. All right. So because I was going to say one thing that if I think about how Auburn has changed over time, I remember the just endless row of RVs and things that I feel like it's a little bit diminished
it
now
is.
As there are other ways to live.
Yes.
I mean, you still have the RV folks.
But not nearly as many.
Right. I mean,
man, I remember it used to be packed there at the Coliseum and then packed all the way, off campus as well.
And you could gauge how big a game was by how early in the week you saw the RVs.
RVs
right?
circling the campus.
If you saw.
Man, they were like buzzards waiting for the kill.
You'd have an LSU
waiting for the animal to die.
This is like Tuberville era where you would have an LSU or a Georgia game at home where you'd see RVs on Tuesday night, right? And you knew it was big because like a smaller game it's Wednesday or Thursday, but you'd see you'd see folks pulling
when you'd
into
see
town.
Them, when you, yeah, we'd see them on Tuesday. Like, when can we park? Oh yeah. All right, we're just getting underway here on the Friday Drive. Love for you to join in 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us.
Hey, I'm Caroline Bush from Bush Landscaping. My husband and I love University.
Welcome back into the drive here, 22 minutes after 4 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Day one of regionals. You want to run down all the scores? We can do that. I mean, we'd love to hear from you, but let's see. It's funny, I've got two different – the NCAA website doesn't list the scores. It just lists that teams with a loss. The only way you know a team has won is because they're the first team listed in a regional, and then the last one is a loss. In the Wake Forest regional.
We got someone chiming into the text box. Do you want to talk about the recent addition we had? Someone, you know, the contribution? Someone just made you want to power through the scores first.
No, we can go ahead. Let's get to that first. Okay, then we can run down the scores.
Anonymous contribution to the text box here. Clemson did not get...
What do you think?
Clemson...
No, you're right.
Was treated unfairly. I'm paraphrasing.
They weren't given any favors by Tennessee being the 2 seed.
Tennessee as the 2 seed is unfair to Clemson in that regional. Clemson is the...
Because Tennessee... All right, so where would that put Tennessee? Because Clemson was the... 4 seed nationally, right? If Clemson is the 4 seed nationally,
high 20s.
Tennessee would be 28.
Yeah, 25 to 30.
29, because should match up
with
32.
Keep in mind, though, they're not going to send
31, but, 3 with 30,
but they're not going to send Tennessee to an SEC school.
That's true.
So that takes eight regionals off the board right there, because they're not going to Tennessee's not going to be the 2 seed in a regional hosted by an SEC.
Well, let's see.
Could you send Tennessee to Coastal instead of Clemson?
But I mean, yeah, no kidding. Coastal's the 10 seed. You would think it. So Tennessee is nowhere near the 23 seed nationally.
Who else is in the teens who's not from the SEC hosting a regional?
Virginia is a lower seed.
Virginia could have hosted Tennessee.
Oklahoma State
could have hosted Tennessee.
Indiana State. I mean, they're quite a few places.
Anonymous texter makes a good point.
I think they just did it because they thought, oh, this will be regional. You know, it won't be too far for them to travel or something.
Although that's also true of Coastal.
I know.
I mean, Conway, South Carolina is not that far from Knoxville.
Virginia.
Charlotte, they're going to play in football in Nashville,
right?
In week one. So, yeah, I think.
Yeah, there were a few options for them to go.
Where is Tennessee? Where is Tennessee in RPI? Do you know off the top of your head?
They were right around 20. I mean, they weren't much lower than that. They sure weren't 28 or 29, where you would think they would be somewhere in that range if they're the 2 seed at the number 4 overall national seed.
Okay, I wanted to get to that text. I thought the texter makes an interesting point.
Yeah.
Also, I verified these are Kylie McDaniel's updated rankings for ESPN.com of the top prospects in baseball, and he mentioned that Dylan Cruz, the moment he's drafted and in someone's system, where do you think Dylan Cruz would rank, Bill?
If they said they're both going to be in the top 20, I'm going to put him in at about 18.
Yeah, 13 for Dylan Cruz. He says that Dylan Cruz, the moment he signs, will be – that's the right fielder for LSU, projected to be – now, I think it's – do people think Cruz is going over Skeens in the draft? Is that the wisdom of late?
I don't know. I've seen it both ways.
Yeah. So Cruz is projected by this guy, Kylie McDaniel, to be the number 13 prospect in baseball the moment he joins a professional baseball organization. And then he's got Paul Skeens, who would slot in at between – yeah, so he and Paul Skeens would be 18. So your guess for Skeens. And he's got Wyatt Langford, the Florida left fielder, as another player who would join the top 20. So he's got three SEC players who he thinks would be in the top 20. Three SEC players who he thinks would be in the top 20
in Major League Baseball. That's not a shock. But it is sort of a shock that they'd be in the top 20 of all Major League prospects.
You remember Drew Jones?
Andrew's son.
Second overall pick in the draft or something last year. Recent very high draft pick. I forget if it was actually second overall. But all three of those SEC players would be ahead of Drew Jones in his current prospect rankings. So the number two, I shouldn't keep saying number two with authority, one of the top picks in last year's draft would be, in fact, behind all three of the top SEC players on the board in the upcoming draft.
That tells you how good SEC baseball is and how well coached they are and how much respect the Major League Baseball has for those programs.
Well, and how special the SEC has, you know, the three prospects the SEC has at the moment are, because Skeens, I mean, a year ago, nobody thought this was Paul Skeens. I mean, he was a
correcting saying he's a center fielder.
Cruz?
Yeah.
Okay. The ESPN draft.
ESPN projecting him as a right fielder.
The ESPN draft analyst had him as a right fielder.
Yeah, a lot of times they will put players at their projectable positions, not the positions they're playing in college.
I'd love to know Tex's thoughts on, I mean, it's pitching, so it's tough to compare. But and also I know how tough it is to project guys for the pros. But does Tex believe the hype with both? Because I know he's seen his fair share of both Cruz and Skeens. I'd love to know if Tex believes the hype on both of those guys, because they could be Greystone prospects. I mean, these are guys who could potential National League.
Not far down the road.
I mean, depending on – I don't know who's – I should check the draft order for 2020.
It doesn't matter. I'm not going to – you can't count on pitchers.
No. I'm talking about what Major League Baseball teams they could end up on the draft order for the 23 draft.
And I had it pointed out to me that Skeens probably starting day one here because they feel like they're going to move on, and he'd be able to start day one in the Super Regional and then day one if they win when they get to the College World Series. And that's what you want. You want your ace starting starting the first game, because that might allow him to come back, you know, in something like a College World Series. 334-321-1390.
Ooh, okay.
We'll get to our bottom of the hour break here momentarily.
Top two teams on the board in the 2023 draft, the Pirates and the Nationals. So National League teams could be selecting two of those three SEC players we were just talking about.
All right, we will we'll update you on the scoreboard and anything else. We'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 here on the Friday Drive.
That he's gained a significant amount of control on it, and he is able to throw a changeup at 88. Just think about that. His changeup's 88, and it goes down and in and has the same movement. They believe he'll saw a lot of bats off with those pitches in the big leagues. Throwing 100 does not affect guys in the big leagues.
No,
if it's straight, you're going to get bombed. The good thing, and what he's done, and then a fourth pitch, so he goes two seam, four seam, and a changeup. His slider gets better every weekend. He never really had to depend on that, and he's starting to learn how to throw that slider for strikes, so he can go down and into the righty, down and away, down and in on the lefty, down and away to the lefty. So I think if it was me, I will just tell you this. I walked, and when he pitched at Auburn, I walked past a scout who was on the phone with somebody, and this is exactly what he said. I don't care what it takes. We have to draft that kid.
Now, are you a little surprised that he went today?
No. That's not uncommon. By the way, so the Johnson is an extremely cocky coach, and he's got a couple guys that have thrown pretty well. He was either going to go today or tomorrow. Today sets him up because he's positive he's out of that region.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's what Matt had texted and said. No, that's just so he can stay at the top. He can be the number one guy throughout all the way to the College World Series.
I was reading up on the top of the draft and what teams are picking where and what their needs could potentially be. It sounds like Skeens is the consensus best pitcher in this draft. It's just a question of how many teams at the top are comfortable going with a pitcher instead of one of the toolsy outfielders that are available, including Dylan Cruz, who could go. Yeah. I think of the two of them, it feels like if the Pirates are taking one of the two LSU players first overall, it would probably be Dylan Cruz and not Paul Skeens. But if they choose to go with an outfielder, it may not be Dylan Cruz. It could be one of the other options, including Wyatt Langford from Florida. I would expect both of the LSU players to go in the top four or top five of the of the draft, and they could potentially go 1-2. If Cruz goes first, the Nationals could absolutely take Paul Skeens with the second overall pick, and you could have two LSU players going 1-2.
They had Strasburg.
They did.
Yeah. Well, I will just tell you that he's not had a history of arm problems. And I think he's just now learning how to pitch instead of just overpower people. And I think he spends 2 to 3 months in AA, and then he makes his first big league start, give or take, mid to late August. So.
And you think about the Nationals with Mackenzie Gore right now, who looks like he's got a promising start to his career, Bill.
Josiah Gray,
the Nationals could have, with Strasburg still under contract.
Right.
You know, you could potentially add Paul Skeens to that mix. And that, it sounds right now unlikely that the Pirates go with Skeens first overall. So if the Nationals really, I mean, they could very easily slide Paul Skeens into a pitching group that has some promise and some pedigree to it.
So I'll try and find the picture, and if I can, I'll send it to you two guys. There's a picture from the corners. So one from third and one from first base of Skeens. His plant foot is landing a full somewhere between in the teens, 13 to 15 inches in front of where the average SEC pitcher lands. So just think about that. That ball's coming out of his hand.
Yeah, it's got a shorter distance to go.
Over a foot closer to the plate, which you have very minute amount of time to make a decision as to what you're going to do. By the way, when he gets hit, the discussion's always been, it's just four-seam. Not very many people put the bat very well on his two-seam or his changeup. So, by the way, I actually think this is a big setup for Auburn with Samford winning. I know they're going to be on a big high tomorrow. They did not swing the bats very well until the 10th. And the guy that the center fielder who hit the home run, I don't know if did you see the video of it?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I was in the car.
Over the batter's eye in dead center.
Wow.
It was launched. They brought in a hard-throwing left-hander, and it got out, and it's one of the farthest balls I've seen hit at Plainsman Park. So, and he was either 0-for-3 or 0-for-4 at the time. So, the hitter after him was. And they got after that left-hander, and then they threw some wild pitches. But I don't know how do you get out of a bases loaded, nobody out in a regional, and hold on and only give up one run?
What was crazy is apparently they didn't even warm anybody up. The guy who'd gone three innings, loaded the bases, he gave up leadoff single, walked the next guy on four pitches, went 3-2, walked the next batter, and then had a 3-2 count, I believe, on the next guy who grounded out, and that scored the run. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was that close to walking in a run with nobody out and didn't even warm anybody up. So, I mean, it was him or that's it. I mean, it was do or die with that reliever.
Yeah, so it was he looked like he was out of gas. His best pitch was his changeup, which actually the guy who threw for Southern Miss, the starter that went nine innings, He started at about 80 to 85% of the hitters off with a first pitch changeup. And it had downward movement with sink late, and it looked just like his fastball. Hmm. And he was just eating people up with that until, you know, really he gave up one run, and then they brought in the left-hander, and he's the guy that kind of opened it up. I think that's bigger for Auburn in this regional. Now they just have to take care of business here.
Yeah, Southern Miss has guys that numbers wise look like they can really really hit. They didn't today until the they didn't really hit in the 10th. They just had one hit in the 10th inning.
Yeah, really. Well, the one guy their outfielder that came up with the bases loaded, or maybe came up to load though he walked was walked to load the bases is the guy that hit the ball off the right field fence on a line drive, and that ball was crushed. If it would have been 3 feet higher, it would have gone out of the park. The thing about it is it ended up being just a double, and the guy couldn't score from first because it came so hard off the fence.
Well, Auburn just needs to make sure they take care of business tonight, and I like the way things would set, unless Auburn has to use its whole bullpen tonight.
Well, let's not use the whole bullpen, and I hope the crowd is big because there were a lot of Southern Miss people there today. A lot.
Oh, yeah, so I'm sure.
I hope we have a big crowd tonight and another one tomorrow night. So, all right, guys.
Appreciate it, Tex. See you at
the ballpark. I'll see you at 6:06, Bill.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, appreciate the update from Tex, who was there at the ballpark watching that Samford win. Well, most of it, he watched it till it was 4-1. Samford wins 4-2 and 10 over Southern Miss. A team a lot of people. I mean, I saw some national people picking Southern Miss to come out of the Auburn Regional.
Yeah, they were one of the
two
seeds.
They're in danger of being the first team out of the Auburn Regional now.
Right, but of the two seeds, Southern Miss and Tennessee are the two that I think people felt like had a really good shot of going somewhere and winning the regional. Southern Miss drops a tough first game to a Samford team that did not get their chance. We were talking to Justin Kirby about it earlier in the week, Bill. Samford did not get their chance against Auburn in Hoover, right? They thought they were going to get Auburn.
No, they played in Auburn, and Auburn won 13-3.
Auburn did, but Samford thought they were going to get their chance back in Birmingham, and now the game is
if Auburn wins.
If Auburn wins, that game will be rescheduled for tomorrow, but Auburn's got to get by the Quakers versus the Penn team. Saw some Penn folks downtown earlier today too. So yeah,
it's got to be cool to be able to make that trip.
Yeah, hosting a regional is fun. I imagine going as a visitor to a new place that you've never seen before for some college baseball is also a pretty good time. I know I got to meet some UCLA people last year that made the trip for the Auburn regional, and I bet that's a good time too. Auburn hasn't had to experience that in back-to-back years, Bill, because they've been hosting
this is the first
regional play. But yeah, well, and welcome to any Samford or Southern Miss or Penn people here in town that are hearing the show, and yeah, hope you enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, let's run down the scores and give you updates.
You want to take a break and come back with the scores?
Sure, we can do that. We'll get to our final break. Love for you to join in again, 334-321-1390, as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
What's up? It's a Target Trend Alert.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Friday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. We've got some audio that will run in hour number two. A lot of audio from Butch Thompson. Let's see, Christian Herberholtz, Bryson Ware, as Auburn gets ready for Penn. And, of course, the winner there will take on the Samford Bulldogs, who knocked off Southern Miss in 10 innings earlier today by the score of 4-2. Quite a few finals as the first games are wrapping up in all 16 regionals. And let's see, in the...
You want to start with the finals or the games in progress?
Well, we can start with the finals is what I figured we'd do. We mentioned the Samford Southern Miss game. The LSU Tulane game has now gone final with the Fighting Tigers holding off the Green Wave. Mm-hmm. The Green Wave came in with a record of 19-40. They're now 19-41. 7-2 final LSU.
Couple of major conference two seeds have won their first game. Maryland beat Northeastern in the Winston-Salem regional. That could set up a matchup with number one overall Wake Forest. Duke beat UNC Wilmington 12-3 in the Conway regional. That could set up Duke and Coastal Carolina tomorrow. Oregon beat Xavier 5-4 in the Nashville regional. That could set up Oregon and Vanderbilt tomorrow.
Yeah, usually you see the one seed opt to play the evening game.
So they can have the best.
LSU was an exception.
Right, but the best crowd possible is usually a consideration there too. You know, they want to play under the lights and things like that. But yeah, some teams want the rest and recovery if they win, right? They'd rather play the game early and make the other team
play the turnaround. Usually you don't opt to play in the South. You don't opt to play in the middle of the day as opposed to the evening.
Dallas Baptist, the two seed in the Stillwater regional.
They go down.
They lose to Washington, so one of a couple of two seeds, right? That I guess the other two seeds.
That's three. No, there are at least three two seeds that have lost today, right?
I believe that's right
because Campbell also lost to NC State,
as did Southern Miss. We were talking about earlier in the regional.
Campbell, the team whose fan base was very vocal that they should have been hosting instead of Auburn. So as a two seed, they lose.
Now, do you think Indiana State took the early game because it's going to be cold?
Maybe.
Do you think Indiana State said, hey, Terre Haute might get a little bit chilly tonight, so let's play?
I wouldn't doubt that.
Let's play early. But Indiana State hosting their regional, they beat Wright State 6-5. So the game later on in that one is between North Carolina and Iowa. That game is that can't possibly be right. ESPN says, Bill, verify this one for me.
Now?
No, that's not. These are...
What are we looking at?
Well, the overall record of North Carolina going into what do you got as North Carolina's record?
Well, the NCAA doesn't let me click on that and see. I'd have to top it up. Why? What does ESPN say?
ESPN says they have 70 wins.
No, you only play 56.
Fifty-six is the
maximum number you can play in a regular season.
All right, so I don't
think they've made it through 14 more yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So I'll check on that one. But North Carolina Iowa is the later game tonight in the Terre Haute regional.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to see if I could get any more info there. Clemson was another host that decided to play the early game, and they win 12-5 over Lipscomb.
UNC is 35-22. I don't know what he. I don't know what ESPN.
They doubled it. They doubled it.
I don't know what ESPN.com's doing there.
They're 70-44. They just doubled it.
They really did, didn't they?
Yeah.
All right. So they've also got Miami listed at 80-38. So they probably
they're probably
40-19. I don't know. Maybe it's something got lost in translation there. But the So the SEC teams that have not played yet. Right, you got Charlotte and Tennessee. That game's about to start in the Clemson Regional. You've got Penn and Auburn tonight. You've got Nicholls and Alabama tonight.
I'm wondering when that one's going to start because that one is still showing as delayed.
Yes, the Troy and Boston College game is still listed as delayed. Nicholls and Alabama was supposed to start at 6 o'clock. That feels like it's going to be a while.
Florida's already playing, and they're up 2-0 over a Florida A&M in the top of the second.
Central Connecticut is playing at South Carolina. That game is in Columbia. That's a 6 o'clock start. Eastern Illinois Vanderbilt game that's the SEC Network game. By the way, if you want to watch on national television, that's the one that gets the ESPN, that gets the SC Network slot. That game is at 7 o'clock. And then Fullerton and A&M is on ESPN2 tonight, and that game is at 9 o'clock. That's the late game in the Stanford Regional, and that's another game getting the SEC team getting national television.
Yeah, Stanford underway in its regional, and they lead San Jose State 1-0. In the top of the third, I mentioned Florida leading Florida A&M 2-0 top two. Meanwhile, Arkansas about to win its opener in its regional. They're up 13-4. Santa Clara batting in the top of the eighth.
Texas leading Louisiana 4-2. And how about this, Bill? You can catch that game on the Longhorn Network if you have access to the Longhorn Network. It's also on ESPN Plus. All of these games are available to watch if you're an ESPN Plus subscriber. And that will be the case, I think, with virtually everything from the college baseball postseason, at least the first two rounds. I believe the games are simulcast on ESPN Plus for subscribers. So you can, and that's something we mentioned yesterday. ESPN Plus subscriptions are different than the cable subscriptions you need to watch SEC Network Plus programming. So make sure if you're watching the Auburn game tonight via the ESPN app, make sure that you're an ESPN Plus subscriber. You're going to need that to get by the paywall blocking you from tonight's Auburn and Penn game on the ESPN digital network.
Yeah, now, again, Penn tonight, the matchup for Auburn. Jason Caldwell, of course, with us on Wednesday talking about their pitching staff. And he points out in some notes today that their three weekend starters are a combined 17-7, all three with over 60 innings pitched and a combined ERA of around 3. And they also have a closer who's got a 2.17 ERA and averages well over a strikeout an inning, saying they have a legitimate Power 5 pitching staff.
Yeah, I don't think this is an Auburn team. I would hope it's not an Auburn team going in with the attitude that as an SEC team, you know, they can simply outclass the other, you know, the rest of the competition. There are some guys with mid-major backgrounds on this Auburn team, including Justin Kirby, who we talked to yesterday, who started his career in the MAC before transferring to Auburn. And I think players like that, veterans like that, can help Auburn have the perspective. These are hungry, dangerous teams coming to Auburn trying to win this regional on the road, and Auburn's got to be at their sharpest tonight if they're going to advance.
There are a couple of players on Penn's team who will be in the SEC next year. They have five players who have already announced that they are transferring. Their third baseman, who is coming in with a .316 batting average and 17 homers, will be playing at Texas A&M next year. Their number two starter will be at Georgia next year. I believe their first baseman will be at Duke next year. And their starting pitcher, either tonight, is going to be at Virginia next year.
Now, hold on.
The transfer portal's open. That doesn't mean you have to leave. That's one of the crazy things about the transfer portal. So Penn is playing in Auburn's regional with five players who are already going to Power 5 schools next year.
We didn't talk about this, but the portal opens the day the postseason is revealed in these sports.
And that's why Jason was saying the Auburn coaching staff was dealing and talking with players in the portal on Wednesday.
I mean, you just don't think of teams in the postseason right now.
Yeah, where you know that they're not going to be playing for another school next year.
I mean, keep up the illusion that you're focused entirely on the task at hand here. But at the same time, if they don't open their recruitment until later, they might miss out on opportunities.
That's right.
Anyways, Bill, enjoy the game.
I'm gonna head to the ballpark.
Call in for the first segment if you want. Otherwise, we can just talk on Monday. Love to get your perspective from what you got to see this weekend at the ballpark.
You got plenty of audio.
Indeed, we do.
Butch Thompson, Auburn players, maybe the Justin Kirby interview coming up. Hour number two here on the Friday Drive.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the Friday edition of the drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. You can text the show, 334-564-1840. That's the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, which is available however you listen to podcasts. Bill Cameron is on his way to the ballpark. He's going to be in the Bill Cameron seats for Auburn and Penn tonight at Plainsman Park. Should be a great crowd. Feels like a busy weekend for Auburn in the summertime. You have, you know, different fan bases here for an NCAA baseball regional. Classes are in session for the summer, and it's, you know, I think people are making their visits and things. So yeah, it should be a fun weekend, and a lot of it based around Auburn hosting a couple of baseball games. Samford defeated Southern Miss in extra innings in the first game of the Auburn Regional. So Samford in the winner's bracket, double elimination format. So Samford will play the winner of Auburn and Penn tomorrow night. Southern Miss will play the loser of Auburn Penn tomorrow in an elimination game. So the Southern Miss Golden Eagles, as Bill mentioned in hour number one, Southern Miss was one of the two seeds that people really thought had more than a puncher's chance of winning the regional on the road. And now Southern Miss dropping the first game through their ace in that game as well. The Southern Miss team, the conference tournaments are a bit of a double-edged sword in college baseball, because if you need to win them to get in, you know, it's your chance to punch a ticket in a one-bid league. Samford probably isn't in the NCAA tournament without winning their conference tournament. Penn isn't in the NCAA conference tournament or in the NCAAs without winning their conference tournament. Southern Miss probably didn't need to win their conference tournament. They were a team in with solid footing on RPI. It's a four-bid league. Coastal Carolina, Troy, and Louisiana also got in from the Sun Belt. But Southern Miss won the Sun Belt tournament in Montgomery last week, and now that they've dropped the first game of the Auburn Regional, some of those miles may come back to haunt them, and they've got to figure out a way to dig themselves out of a really tough hole as they drop the first game to Samford. And now Samford awaits the winner of tonight's Auburn Penn game, which will get started in about an hour from Plainsman Park. There was an announcement earlier today about some seats that had become available in the Auburn Penn game. I think they were, I don't know the exact details. So if you're looking for tickets to tonight's game, there could be something. But you know, I don't want to make any promises. But you know, so there was some late breaking news on that front. So check all the. Check in with your local box office to find out if you can call the ticket office and see if anything's going on there. But I know there were some tickets available earlier for some late tickets that became available for the Auburn Penn regional game. Auburn, the one seed in the regional, the host, as they take on the Quakers. That game in about an hour, a little bit less than an hour, which you can catch. ESPN Plus is how you can watch it if you're not going to the ballpark. They're going to have the coverage on the ESPN app or whatever ESPN app you use. You have to be an ESPN Plus subscriber, so make sure that you've got your account squared away if you want to watch Auburn and Penn tonight in the NCAA tournament live from Plainsman Park. Some other games that have gone final in the NCAA baseball tournament, as today is the first day of the NCAAs in college baseball. In the SEC, Kentucky hosting their regional in Lexington. They beat Ball State 4-0. You've got the LSU victory over Tulane. Paul Skeens, the LSU ace, pitching for LSU against Tulane, and they knock off the Green Wave 7-2 in Baton Rouge. I believe those are the only two. Has the Arkansas game gone final? I know they're pretty close to a final. Arkansas up comfortably in Fayetteville. Arkansas, the number 3 overall seed in the draw. They're leading Santa Clara 13-5 in Fayetteville. And the SEC teams that are going to be in action a little bit later on top of Auburn against Penn. You got Alabama and Nichols. That game could be delayed. It's supposed to start at 6, but it could be delayed because the Troy-Boston College game, I believe, is still in a weather delay. That game started hours ago. They've only gotten through about an inning and a half. They're an out away from the end of the second inning, but they've been in a weather delay for quite some time. The weather delay started well before we started the show an hour and 15 minutes ago. So it's an open question as to how long before they resume action in Tuscaloosa. But Troy and Boston College tied at 3 in that game. Alabama and Nicholls State, the game that will play after after the Troy Boston College game goes final. South Carolina's hosting Central Connecticut. There's the Vanderbilt Eastern Illinois game, and Texas A&M and Fullerton among the SEC teams that have not started the action yet. No, Tennessee just got started. That game is on ESPNU. Tennessee and Charlotte in the Clemson regional. Clemson won earlier today, 12-5 over Lipscomb. So if Tennessee can beat Charlotte, Tennessee and Clemson will have their showdown tomorrow. I would expect that game to get one of the national television spots. Still an open question as to what games will be shown on national television tomorrow. ESPN, I think, has some opportunities to flex between different matchups and different games. So yeah, check your local listings there. But Auburn and Penn slated to get started in about an hour or so, as Auburn hosting a regional for the second straight year in college baseball, and they will take on the Penn Quakers, the champions of the Ivy League, in a game that's been sold out for a while, or sold out as soon as they made tickets available, and one would expect a very partisan pro Auburn crowd in the house for Auburn and Penn. That game underway just about an hour away from the first pitch in Plainsman Park. So we've got, as Bill mentioned, some audio as well. Butch Thompson, the Auburn coach, spoke to the media earlier this week to preview it. We also had a chance here on the show yesterday to talk to Auburn outfielder Justin Kirby about preparation and about how everything's going on. Justin has been a delight to talk to all season long as part of Tiger Takes, brought to you by the good folks at the Also Brook Law Group. And we've had really good luck with Tiger Takes, not just this season, but since we started doing it. John Samuel Schenker has been great. The Auburn tight end talked to us for 2 years. Zepp Jasper was a blast, and Sonny DeShera last year was great as well. Getting to talk to Sonny, who, by the way, Sonny's in action this weekend, activated by Rocket City, and I believe those games are in Montgomery. So if you're thinking about, if you're an Auburn fan thinking about going to the Biscuits games this weekend, you should get a chance to see Sonny DeShera in a Trash Pandas uniform, taking on the Butter and the Blue there at Montgomery. They're in Montgomery for the Biscuits. So yeah, good luck to Sonny DeShera, as always, friend of our show and one of the Tiger Takes Hall of Famers here on the drive. But yeah, Justin Kirby was great yesterday, as always. Got to talk to him about preparation and everything. We'll try to run some of that too. Bill Cameron on his way to the ballpark. It's Dan Peck in the studio on a Friday. Drew at the controls. We'll be back. You're listening to The Drive. Experience.